From Community Public Radio, this is the CPR News. From New York, I'm Don DeBar.
President Donald Trump held a press conference in Hanoi, Vietnam, early Thursday at the conclusion of his talks with North Korea's Kim Jong-un.
We just left Chairman Kim. We had a really, a very productive time. We thought, and I thought, and Secretary Pompeo felt that it wasn't a good thing to be signing anything. I'm going to let Mike speak about it. But we literally just left. We spent pretty much all day with Kim Jong-un, who is he's quite a guy and quite a character. And I think our relationship is very strong. But at this time, we had some options. And at this time, we decided not to do any of the options. And we'll see where that goes. But it was a very interesting 2 days. And I think actually it was a very productive 2 days. But sometimes you have to walk.
Has this process been more difficult than you thought? And was the North Korean demand for lifting of some sanctions the real sticking point here in that you did not want to do that and they did? And
will it, there it was about third, the sanctions.
Will I mean, there be a third summit, Mr. President?
Basically, they wanted the sanctions lifted in their entirety, and we couldn't do that. They were willing to denuke a large portion of the areas that we wanted, but we couldn't give up all of the sanctions for that. So we continue to work, and we'll see, but we had to walk away from that particular suggestion. We had to walk away from that.
Will all the sanctions that are currently in existence remain, sir?
They're in place. You know, I was watching, as a lot of you folks over the weeks have said, we've given up. We haven't given up anything. And frankly, I think we'll end up being very good friends with Chairman Kim and with North Korea, and I think they have tremendous potential. I've been telling everybody, they have tremendous potential, unbelievable potential, but we're going to see. But it was about sanctions. I mean, they wanted sanctions lifted, but they weren't willing to do an area that we wanted. They were willing to give us areas, but not the ones we wanted. John?
As we know, I mean, there's an incredibly complex set of issues that are at play here in terms of lifting the sanctions and what denuclearization is.
Right.
Did you get any distance toward sort of what Kim's vision of denuclearization is?
Yes, we did.
Because there is a lot of a line of thinking that he wants to keep some nukes.
Yeah.
I mean, would you allow him to do that? And if you
well,
can't,
I don't want to comment on that exactly, but he has a certain vision. And it's not exactly our vision, but it's a lot closer than it was a year ago. And I think, you know, eventually we'll get there. But for this particular visit, we decided that we had to walk, and we'll see what happens. Okay? So, look, we have a gentleman nobody's ever heard of that was Sean Hannity. What are you doing here, Sean Hannity? Should we let him do a question? I don't know. Yeah, John? Go ahead.
Follow up with you. So, if he wants the sanctions completely off and you want more on denuclearization, how can you bridge that gap between now and the next time you might sit down together?
With time, it'll be bridged, I think, at a certain point. But there is a gap. We have to have sanctions, and he wants to denuke, but he wants to just do areas that are less important than the areas that we want. We know the country very well, believe it or not. We know every inch of that country, and we have to get what we have to get, because that's a big give. Yes, Sean, please.
I work in radio and TV. The mic's on. Mr. President, thank you. Mr. Secretary, good to see you. Mr. President, if you could elaborate a little bit more. We have some history. President Reagan walked away in Reykjavik. A lot of condemnation at the time, and it ended up working out very well in the end for the United States. Was this mostly your decision, what would message would you want to send Chairman Kim as he's listening to this press conference about the future and your relationship?
Well, Sean, I don't want to say it was my decision, because what purpose is that? I want to keep the relationship, and we will keep the relationship. We'll see what happens over the next period of time. But As you know, we got our hostages back. There's no more testing. And one of the things, importantly, that Chairman Kim promised me last night is, regardless, he's not going to do testing of rockets and nuclear. Not going to do testing. So, you know, I trust him, and I take him at his word. I hope that's true. But in the meantime, we'll be talking. Mike will be speaking with his people. He's also developed a very good relationship with the people, really, the people representing North Korea. I haven't spoken to Prime Minister Abe yet. I haven't spoken to President Moon, South Korea. But we will, and we'll tell them it's a process and it's moving along, but we just felt it wasn't appropriate to sign an agreement today. We could have. I just felt it wasn't very appropriate. Yeah, Jonathan.
Thank you, President Trump. Jane Tan with China News and Guangdong Television. What was the atmosphere like when you walk away from the negotiation table?
And I think it was very good, very friendly. This wasn't a walk away like you get up and walk out. No, this was very friendly. We shook hands. We, you know, there's a warmth that we have. Now, I hope that stays. I think it will. But we are, you know, we're positioned to do something very special. This has been going on for many decades. This isn't me. You know, this should have been solved during many presidential runs. And, you know, people talked about it. They never did anything. I get a kick out of so many people from past administrations telling me how to negotiate when they were there, in some cases, for 8 years. But we like each other. Good relationship. Go ahead in the back. Go ahead.
Mr. President, do you think it was premature to have held the summit when all these things had not been tied down? I mean, in the White House schedule last night, it said signing agreement today. And I wonder whether, as a follow-up question, whether you could just sketch out what the next few months look like. Thank you.
You always have to be prepared to walk. I could have signed an agreement today, and then you people would have said, oh, what a terrible deal, what a terrible thing he did. No, you have to be prepared to walk. And, you know, there was a potential we could have signed something today. I could have 100% signed something today. We actually had papers ready to be signed, but it just wasn't appropriate. I want to do it right. I'd much rather do it right than do it fast. Yes, please, go ahead. Go ahead. Go ahead. Go. First. Go. Yeah. You have to speak up.
Yes. I'm a reporter from South Korea, and I appreciate your effort to advance denuclearization in Korean Peninsula. And could you elaborate on the options and the various ways that you discussed with Chairman Kim to advance denuclearization? Could you specify?
We discussed many ways, and the denuclearization is a very important, it's a very important word, become a very well-used word. And a lot of people don't know what it means, but to me, it's pretty obvious. We have to get rid of the nukes. I think he's got a chance to have one of the most successful countries rapidly, too, on Earth. Incredible country, incredible location. You're right between, if you think of it, you have on one side Russia and China, and on the other, you have South Korea. And you're surrounded by water and among the most beautiful shorelines in the world. There's tremendous potential in North Korea, and I think he's going to lead it to a very important thing economically. I think it's going to be an absolute economic power. Yes, go ahead, please. Go ahead, yeah.
It's President David Sanger from the New York Times.
I know, David.
6 months ago when you spoke, or 8 months ago in Singapore, you said if you didn't have something in 6 months, we should come back and ask you about it. In that time, you have seen Chairman Kim increase the number of missiles he's produced and continue to produce more nuclear material. And that's been a pressure point on you because he's showing that the arsenal is getting larger while this is going on.
Well, some people, David, are saying that, and some people are denying that. They have shots from above, way above, and some people are saying that, and some people aren't. But I could have taken that out today. But I think you and others would have said we didn't get enough for what we'd be giving up. So, and I, you know, don't forget, we're partners with a lot of countries on this, if you think about it, with the sanctions. We have a whole big partnership with the United Nations and many countries, including Russia, China, and others. And then, of course, South Korea is very important to this whole thing, and Japan. I don't want to do something that is going to violate the trust that we've built up. We have a very strong partnership.
So can you just give us a little more detail? Did you get into the question of actually dismantling the Yongbyon complex?
Yes, absolutely.
And does he seem willing ultimately
totally.
To take all of that out?
Sure, totally.
He does. He just wants all the sanctions off first.
He would do that, but he wants the sanctions for that. And as you know, there's plenty left after that.
And
I just felt it wasn't good. Mike and I spent a long time negotiating and talking about it to ourselves. And just I felt that that particular, as you know, that facility, while very big, it wasn't enough to do what we were doing.
So he was willing to do Yongbyon, but you wanted more than that, I assume.
We had to have more than that, yeah. We had to have more than that. Because there are other things that you haven't talked about, that you haven't written about, that we found, and we have to have. That was done a long time ago, but the people didn't know about.
Including the uranium, including the second uranium enrichment plant.
Exactly. And we brought many, many points up that I think they were surprised that we knew. But we had to do more than just the one level, because if we did the one level and we gave up all of that leverage, it's been taking a long time to build.
So he
and
was,
I want to take,
he was
by
not
the way,
willing to take out that second. That
David,
second.
I want to take off the sanctions so badly because I want that country to grow. That country has got such potential, but they have to give up more. We could have done that deal. Go ahead.
Thank you, Mr. President.
Thank you.
I just wanted to clarify, when you talk about what you would be willing to give up all of the sanctions for, right. Are you still thinking that you want North Korea to give up everything to do complete, verifiable
denuclearization before you lift
sanctions?
Yeah, it's a good question. I don't want to say that to you because I don't want to put myself in that position from the standpoint of negotiation. But, you know, we want a lot to be given up. And we're giving up. And we'll have to, you know, we'll be helping them along economically. Us and other, many other countries are going to be helping. They're going to be in there. They're prepared to help. I can tell you Japan, South Korea, I think China, so many. And speaking of China, we're very well on our way to doing something special. But we'll see. I mean, I am always prepared to walk. I'm never afraid to walk from a deal. And I would do that with China, too, if it didn't work out.
Are you concerned if you're not able to reach an agreement that the testing will start again or that in that while all of this time
well,
is
he
passing
said the
by,
testing,
they're continuing to develop their program?
He said the testing will not start. He said that he's not going to do testing of rockets or missiles or anything having to do with nuclear. And all I can tell you is that's what he said, and we'll see. Yes, go ahead, please. Go ahead, please. In the back. Red, in the red.
Thank you. Thank you, Mr. President.
Yes, thank you.
Jessica Stone from CGTN. I have a question about China, as you were talking about. You talk about China being willing potentially to help economically and the fact that you've talked or will talk to Presidents Moon and Prime Minister Abe. How would you describe China's role in facilitating the engagement that's happened so far between Pyongyang and Washington?
I think China's been a big help, bigger than most people know. On the border, as you know, 93% of the goods coming into North Korea come through China. So there's a great power there. At the same time, I happen to believe that North Korea is calling its own shots. They're not taking orders from anybody. He's a very strong guy, and they're able to do things that are pretty amazing. But 93% still come in from China. China has an influence, and China's been a big help. And Russia's been a big help, too. As you know, there's a pretty small part of the border, but nevertheless significant, about 28 miles, and things can happen there too, and they've been a help. Yes, go ahead, please.
Thanks, President. Zhen Chen with Shenzhen Media Group of China. In your meeting with Chairman Kim this morning and yesterday, did the topic of China come up? If so, what can you share with us today? And you probably will have the end of Mar-a-Lago summit in March with Chinese President Xi Jinping. What would you like accomplished with your agenda regarding China at that time? Thank you.
We did talk about China today a lot, and he's getting along with China, and so are we. And we are, you know, we're right now, you look at what's happened to our country. We've picked up trillions and trillions of dollars of net worth. Our stock market is almost at its all-time high. Our economy is incredible. Our unemployment numbers are among the best we've ever had in our history. Individual groups like African-American, women, you just take a look at any group, Hispanic, you saw that just came out, the best in history, African-American best in history. So many different numbers are coming out so good. So we have the strongest economy probably, possibly, that we've ever had. Fiat Chrysler just announced that they're going to spend $4.5 billion right next to Detroit in Michigan. They're building a tremendous plant. It's actually an expansion of another plant. It's going to be, it's going to double up their jobs and even more than that. A lot of great things are happening. And with China, they're having some difficulty, as you know. But I think that a lot of the difficulty is because of the tariffs that they're having. And in addition to that, we're putting a tremendous amount of money. You saw trade deficits went down last month. Everyone was trying to find out why. Well, we're taking in a lot of tariff money, and it's going right to the bottom line, and it has reduced the trade deficit. So we'll see what happens with China. I think we have a very good chance. Their numbers are down, but I don't want that. I want their numbers. I want them to do great. But we've been losing anywhere from $300 to $500 billion a year with China for many, many years. And again, like other things, many presidents should have done this before me, and nobody did. So we're doing it. Go ahead. Go ahead, please.
Me?
Right here. This gentleman.
Chad O'Carroll from NK News, specialist North Korea news.
Good.
What's your message for President Moon, who has effectively reached the glass ceiling as far as inter-Korean cooperation is concerned due to sanctions? And what's next for U.S. ROK military drills?
Well, I like President Moon very much. We have a great relationship. Believe it or not, I have a great relationship with almost every leader. A lot of people find that hard to understand, but I do. But some take advantage of our country like you wouldn't believe. And when they know I know it, which I know in every case, maybe it sort of freezes them up a little bit. But we do. We have a lot of good relationships. We'll be calling President Moon very soon, as soon as I get by the phone on the plane. And he'll be one of the first calls. I'll be calling Prime Minister Abe of Japan, telling him about where we are and what we're doing. But I'll be making those calls. No, he's working very hard. President Moon is working very hard. He'd love to see a deal. And he's been very helpful. Okay? Go ahead, please. No, yeah, please. Go ahead, please. No, yeah, please.
Maybe Allie next.
That's okay. Your friends.
Maybe Allie next.
That's okay. Your friends.
Thanks, Mr. President. Did you commit with Chairman Kim to a next summit during
no,
your
we
term?
Haven't. No.
Okay.
We'll see if it happens. It happens. I have not committed.
They are, at this point, some would say, a nuclear power. Do you accept North Korea as a nuclear armed state, at least for the time being? And are you thinking about reimposing the military exercises with South Korea, or yeah. will you keep in a freeze?
Well,
for
you know,
freeze?
The military exercises, I gave that up quite a while ago because it costs us $100 million every time we do it. We fly these massive bombers in from Guam. And when I first started, a certain general said, oh, yes, sir, we fly them in from Guam. It's right next door. Well, right next door is 7 hours away. And then they come and they drop millions of dollars of bombs, and then they go back. But we would spend, I mean, we spent hundreds of millions of dollars on those exercises. And I hated to see it. I thought it was unfair. And frankly, I was sort of the opinion that South Korea should help us with that. You know, we're protecting South Korea. I think they should help us with that. So those exercises are very expensive. And I was telling the generals, I said, look, you know, exercising is fun and it's nice. And they play the war games. And I'm not saying it's not. It's not. But it's a very, very expensive thing. And, you know, we do have to think about that, too. But when they spend hundreds of millions of dollars on those exercises and we don't get reimbursed, we're spending a tremendous amount of money on many countries, protecting countries that are very rich, that can certainly afford to pay us, and then some. And those countries, by the way, and those countries know that it's not right, but nobody's ever asked them before, but I've asked them, and we're gaining a lot of money. We've picked up over $100 billion just in NATO over the last 2 years. $100 billion more has come in. And we're doing that with a lot of countries. You'll be seeing that a lot. Yes, sir, please. Yeah, 1 second, please.
Yes, thank you, Mr. President. You have a personal relationship, and I believe Vice President Pence does, with the family of Otto Warmbier.
I do.
I'm wondering, you've talked about this week's about Kim Jong-un being my friend. You called him on Twitter. You said you have a great relationship. Have you in Singapore or here confronted Kim Jong-un about Otto Warmbier's death?
I have.
Asked him to take responsibility.
Have, yeah.
And what did he say to you? And why do you call him your friend?
I have. And I have. And I have talked about it. And I really don't think it was in his interest at all. I know the Warmbier family very well. I think they're an incredible family. What happened is horrible. I really believe something very bad happened to him, and I don't think that the top leadership knew about it. And when they had to send him home, by the way, I got the prisoners back. I got the hostages back. And Otto was one of the hostages, but Otto came back in shape that was not even to be talked about. I thought it was horrible. Now, the others came back extremely healthy. But Otto came back in a condition that was just terrible. And I did speak about it, and I don't believe that he would have allowed that to happen. It just wasn't to his advantage to allow that to happen. Those prisons are rough. They're rough places, and bad things happened. But I really don't believe that he was I don't believe he knew about it.
Did he tell you that he did not? Did Kim Jong-un tell you?
He
directly?
Felt badly about it. I did speak to him. He felt very badly. But he knew the case very well, but he knew it later. And, you know, you got a lot of people, a big country, a lot of people. And in those prisons and those camps, you have a lot of people. And some really bad things happened to Otto. Some really, really bad things.
Why are you on
but
the
he tells
him?
Me, he tells me that he didn't know about it. And I will take him at his word. Yes, ma'am. Go ahead, please. Please, go ahead in the back. No, in the back, behind you. Oh. Thank you.
Mr. President, Schwarzman Valentino, Sputnik News Agency. Have you discussed the issue of possible inspections to North Korea nuclear sites during your negotiations?
You're going to have to speak a little louder. And mm-hmm. Where are you from?
Russia, Sputnik News Agency. Okay. Have you discussed the issue of possible inspections to North Korea's nuclear sites during your talks with the chairman?
Why don't you answer that, Mike?
Hmm?
I can't. Good.
Inspections.
I was worried about
my sides.
International
inspections. Yes.
Inspections on North Korea?
Yeah, inspections.
We'd be able to do that very easily. We have that set up, so we would be able to do that very easily. The inspections on North Korea will take place, and will if we do something with them, we have a schedule set up that is very good. We know things that, as David was asking about certain places. And certain sites, there are sites that people don't know about that we know about. We would be able to do inspections, we think, very, very successfully. Yes, ma'am, please. Yes, go ahead, please. Yes.
Thank you, Mr. President.
A lot of people here, by the way. A big group of people.
Yes.
Go ahead.
Khan News Israel, Mr.
Good.
President.
Good.
Following this engagement with North Korea, you're trying to bring peace to the Middle East.
Right.
The peace plan is about to be introduced in the near future, and as you have mentioned before...
Well, we hope. We're working hard on the peace plan, and we hope it will
I
be
believe
produced.
You do, but as you mentioned before, it will require Israel to make compromises to the Palestinians. As far as you know, is Prime Minister Netanyahu willing to make these compromises, which are very much needed? And a second question, Mr. Netanyahu is about to be indicted today with corruption allegations. Do you wish to tell him something on this occasion?
Well, I just think he's been a great prime minister. And I don't know about his difficulty, but you're telling me something that, you know, people have been hearing about, but I don't know about that. I can say this, that he's done a great job as prime minister. He's tough, he's smart, he's strong. He is very defensive. His military has been built up a lot. They buy a lot of equipment from the United States, and they pay for it. Of course, we give them tremendous, as you know, subsidy also. $4 billion is a lot each year. They've been very, very good. They've been incredible, actually, in many ways. But there is a chance for peace between Israel and the Palestinians. And, you know, it's interesting, all my life, I've heard that the toughest of all deals, when they talk about tough deals, we all like deals, but the toughest of all deals would be peace between Israel and the Palestinians. They say it's like the impossible deal. I'd love to be able to produce it. We'll see what happens. You know, we were paying the Palestinians a lot of money, And I ended that about 2 years ago because they weren't saying the right things. And I said, why would we pay somebody that's not saying nice things about us and not really wanting to go to the peace table? And they've been much better. And we'll see what happens.
But I think we really,
I think we have actually a good shot at peace between Israel and the Palestinians. Yeah, go ahead, please, sir.
Mr. President, I'm from China. My question is, do you still believe it is possible that the North Korea and U.S. relation could be like the U.S. and the Vietnam relation in the future?
You have to go again?
Do you still believe that it is possible the relation between U.S. and North Korea in the future could be like the relation between U.S. and Vietnam?
Yeah, I think we're going to have, we have very, very good relations. And by the way, speaking of, you mentioned Japan, we have a lot of good things happening with Japan. We have trade talks started. For years, Japan has been sending millions and millions of cars in, and as you know, it's not been a very fair situation for the United States. We're starting trade talks with Japan. They actually started about 3 months ago, and I think we'll have a very good deal for the United States. But that's been a very unfair situation. Prime Minister Abe understands that, and that's fine. Yes, sir, please, back there.
Thank you, Mr. President. I'm Chen Yichang with Shanghai Media Group. Do you think the next meeting could be soon or might take some time?
Well, I can't tell you. I mean, it might be soon. It might not be for a long time. I can't tell you. I would hope it would be soon, but it may not be for a long time. I could have done a deal today, but it would have been a deal that wouldn't have been a deal that it would have been something that I wouldn't have been happy about. Mike would not have been happy about. We had some pretty big options, but we just felt it wasn't appropriate, and we really want to do it right. Yes, in the back. Yes, ma'am, please.
Debbie Edward, ITV News. At which point did it become clear to you that you wouldn't be getting a deal here in Hanoi? The language from yourself and Kim Jong-un was very positive last night and even this morning, and therefore was it a mistake to come here?
No, I think the language was good all throughout. The language has been good even now, but I don't go by language because we had probably the toughest language in the history of diplomacy, if you call it diplomacy, at the beginning, and yet we became very friendly. I don't believe there was any tougher language ever than that. But again, this was something that should have been handled by other presidents long before me. And long before they had the kind of power that they have. But it wasn't. It should have been done by many. I'm not just blaming the Obama administration, which, by the way, it did nothing. Nothing. Absolutely nothing on North Korea. It allowed things that happened and to happen that were very inappropriate. But I'm not blaming the Obama administration. I'm blaming many administrations. Something should have happened. But I don't think the rhetoric's been bad at all. Initially, it was horrible, but now it's been very good. All right, one more. How about you? Go ahead, please. Please, go ahead. Go ahead.
South Korea, Chong An Kim from South Korea. Good. Channel A, Dong Aebo, South Korean media outlet here. I'd like to ask you, you said that we do not particularly know when they will be, North Korean leader will be willing to come to the table and take the actions that's been required. If that's the case, would the U.S. be willing to strengthen the sanctions and perhaps put the pressure on North Korea to move forward?
I don't want to comment on that. I can just tell you this, that we have very strong sanctions. I don't want to talk about increasing sanctions. They're strong. They have a lot of great people in North Korea that have to live also, and that's important to me. And I would say this, my whole attitude changed a lot because I got to know, as you know, Chairman Kim very well, and they have a point of view also. So I don't want to really talk about that. I just think that hopefully for the sake of South Korea, for the sake of Japan, and frankly for the sake of China, I was talking to President Xi, who really is a man that gets the respect of a lot of people. I say, you can't love having a nuclear state right next to China. And he doesn't. He really doesn't. He would like to see that problem solved, too. So that's it. Well, ladies and gentlemen, I'm about to get on a plane and fly back to a wonderful place called Washington, D.C. So thank you very much. Thank you. Thank you, fellas. Thank you very much.
And that's all the news we have for you right now. For Community Public Radio, I'm Don DeBar in New York. Thanks for listening.